Thank you, Cody. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to get everything just right. If you know me, you'll understand why. It is Jesus Christ, the rock on which we stand. He is our anchor. He is our all. He created us. We are His creation. He had made an atonement for us for the fall of Adam. He bought us back from that fall. And one of these days, I hope to meet Him face to face. But the title of my sermon comes from hymn 287. It's "We Have an Anchor." That song's been in my head for probably a month now, if I can remember. I can't get rid of it. So when I was asked to preach, I always pray about it, and this song just kept coming up. So it's like, okay, I can handle that. I got a subject. Now we've got scriptures. So, what is it that you hold on to, and where do you look for help when life seems out of control? Have you ever felt like your life in general is out of control at times? I know I have. Basically, sometimes it seems like on a daily basis at times. But I know I have this rock and I have this anchor that holds me firm to the rod of iron, which we have, which is the scriptures that we go by, to lead our lives by, for us to look for our hope. It's what we have faith in. And what is your anchor when you're in times of trouble? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it all the things that the world has to offer you? Is that what you look to? I've tried those. It doesn't work. It doesn't take away your troubles. As a matter of fact, it makes them worse. It's a fact. So what is our anchor? I've turned mine to Jesus Christ. I've found myself praying without knowing that I'm praying at times. It's because that's who I look to talk to when I'm in times of trouble, when my mind is in a frenzy, which for me that happens at times, and I have to settle it down. And I turn to Jesus Christ to do that for me. You know, a lot of us have health problems, you know, physical or mental, whatever they may be, they're there. We deal with them. We have family issues, a lot of us, that we have to deal with that aren't pleasant. Or maybe your day's just going really bad. It's one of those days to where you can tell how the day's going because you drop stuff and you can't pick it up. It just keeps getting away from you. So what do you look to when you have those times? I'm hoping it's Jesus Christ, because that's where everything's founded at. I'd like to open with Ephesians 4. I have a tendency to wander, and this keeps me going. Ephesians 4. Start at verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness and whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him and to all things, which is the head, even Christ. And focus on verse 14, that we hence not be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In this day and age, we have, it seems, every wind of doctrine, every type of teaching that's out there, whether it's founded on the scriptures or whether it's made up from somebody's mind. It's out there. And if we're not careful, we can be tossed to and fro by the troubles we have in life and by the things that are presented to us that are not true. So what do we go to? What anchors us in that truth that we have in the rod of iron, the Bible and the Book of Mormon? It's Jesus Christ and the love that he has for us. And that rod of iron is what we should guide our lives by. If you remember, Lehi had a vision. I'm going to go to 1 Nephi 3, verse 68. It's found on page 29. If you go by the page numbers. If not, 1 Nephi 3, 68. Lehi had a vision, and he had a vision about a river of water, and there was a rod of iron that ran parallel to this river of water, and it led to the tree of life. And if you grabbed a hold of that rod of iron, which is our scriptures, and you hang on to it, it'll guide you to the tree of life. But you have to study it, and you have to read it. And you have to let it sink into your heart, sink into your soul, I might say. 1 Nephi 3, 68 and 69. And this is Nephi, and he had a vision also, and this is his vision. Lots of times explains some of the things that Lehi saw. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron which my father had seen, which was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. Page 45, 1 Nephi 4. Start at verse 35. Nephi is teaching his brothers at this time, and they ask him questions about things that their father Lehi saw. I'm sorry, I got waved at, I think. First Nephi 4, 35, and it came to pass that they did speak unto me again, saying, what meaneth the things which our father saw in a dream? What meaneth the tree which he saw? And I said to them, it is a representation of the tree of life. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw, which led to the tree? And I said unto them, it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them into blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. There's all kinds of stuff out there that will lead you astray. You know, you have to take the gospel and what the rod of iron says in its entirety. You know, I've heard this thing, well, there's no hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go do what I want to do, which is wrong. Because what my flesh wants to do lots of times is in a contradiction to what my soul needs to do. Does that make sense? It's kind of like Paul when he says, I do what I want. I'm not going to quote it because I can't. But you know where I'm coming from. So Nephi's teaching his brothers that that's what that rod of iron was. And that's why we have the Bible and the Book of Mormon. So that our souls can be fed and our souls can be guided towards Jesus Christ. And our hope of eternity with God. And the rod of iron in the Book of Mormon, he's given us his doctrine and his gospel to go by. 3 Nephi 5, page 634. Third Nephi 5, I'm going to start at verse 32. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'll declare unto you my doctrine. This is Christ speaking. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record of the Father. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and to believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine. And I bear record of it from the Father, and whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must be baptized, become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. He's got a doctrine. And he says, you must repent and be baptized. I've heard it said out in the world from people that profess to be Christians that, no, you don't have to be baptized. All you have to do is profess that you believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's great. The devils profess that they believe in Jesus Christ. The rod of iron, the Word of God, says we need to be baptized and repent of our sins. And believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. That's his doctrine. 3 Nephi 12, page 673. 3 Nephi 12, start at verse 25. We've also been given Christ's gospel, his good news. He's given us his teachings, which to me seem to be simple. Repent and be baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And endure to the end in that faith. 3 Nephi 12, 25. Behold, I have given you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. It's Jesus Christ again speaking. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they might be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass, and whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And he that endureth to the end, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he hath said, and he hath... And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from which they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father, and this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. For this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing enter into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in his blood because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment: repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, as ye may stand spotless before him at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And you know the things which you must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, it's Jesus, what we've seen Jesus Christ do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. That's his gospel. That's Jesus Christ's gospel. He loves us so much that he gave us instructions on how to lead our lives to get us to heaven. It's in here. We just need to read it and study it and understand it. I think it was Forrest Maley I heard up here one day says we need to become scholars of the scriptures. You might want to open your hymnals to hymn number 287. So I read through this. I tried to break it down, and I hope the Lord guided me in doing a decent job. Hopefully I listened, because the Lord won't make mistakes. I will. First verse, and I'm not going to sing it. Just warning you. I love to sing. I'm just not good at it. I can't hit notes where they need to be. I can hear them in my ear, but I can't hit them. So I like to sing, I'm just not very good at it. Hymn number 287, we have an anchor, and we do have an anchor, and he holds us firm to that rod of iron. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, violent contention and anger. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when contention's coming at you and there's arguments going on, and you're all bound up in these arguments and stuff, the clouds have unfolded their wings of strife. What do you turn to? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? I hope I get this right. There's a place in Alaska called Turnagain Arm, and it's a waterway into the Gulf of Alaska, and it has large tide changes. I mean, when the water comes rushing in, I heard somebody tell me that you could surf it, because that rush, that tide rushes in so fast. And if you're anchored in there, that water comes in, it's going to lift you up quick. And you're going to hope that your cables, they may strain, but you hope they hold to that anchor that you have, or you're going to be swept away. And it really does. It comes in fast. So you're hoping that when life comes in and it starts trying to sweep you away, that you have that solid anchor, which is Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. Is it safely moored? Will the storm withstand? For 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. I have thought I had a pretty good understanding what moored meant. You have a ship or a boat and you have it moored, you have it tied off so it doesn't go away, so it doesn't drift away from where it's supposed to stay. That's what being safely moored. If it's safely moored, the boat or ship's tied so that it doesn't just float out into the sea. And we need to be moored to Jesus Christ, so that we're not just out there drifting around in our life to be swept away by every wind of doctrine, by everything that comes at us from the world. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through the strength divine. Divide the blast through strength divine. I was thinking, when I heard that, I thought, but blasts, what's it talking about? What came to my mind was the blasts of life, the battles and the blessings we go through that we have in our life. And I got to thinking about the things that happen, the battles that take place that we don't even know about that are for our benefit. You know, you had Daniel, and he was praying, and the angel was going to come, but the prince of Persia withstood him 21 days. Thank you. That is a rough one to remember. 21 days. So there's these battles that go on behind the lines, behind this veil that we have here that we don't see. But we still have that advocate, Jesus Christ, that's fighting for us behind those lines. The blasts of life. We all have them. Sometimes things are going smooth, which I like. But then the billows of life start coming at us. Verse number 3. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. When you have waves coming in, they're rolling waves, but when they come close to the reef, they have a tendency to rise up and smash down because the water is shallow. And if you're guiding a boat or a ship, if you see that, you know that the water's shallow and the reef will wreck your boat. Though the tempest rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. Anybody know what the bark of a ship is? I had no clue. I got to thinking, well, is it the sides that come up from the deck and stuff? Well, when I looked it up, it has nothing to do with that. A bark is a type of ship, and it's a three-mast ship, and they call it, and actually it's spelled B-A-R-Q-U-E or something like that, like barbecue is what I got out. But anyway, it's It's a cargo vessel, and it'll hold like 500 tons. And so when angry waves in life are coming upon us as a ship, it talks about, where was it? Angry waves shall our bark overflow. He keeps those waves of life from overflowing us and sinking us. A bark ship is a pretty good sized ship because it'll hold 100 people and 500 tons of cargo. So it'd take a lot of water to sink it. But the Lord, our anchor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, holds those waves back so it doesn't sink us down and overtake us if we have that faith in Jesus Christ. Verse number 4. It will surely hold in the floods of death when the waters cold chill our latest breath. When we're at that stage where we're getting ready to die, we have an anchor that holds us to the rod of iron and gives us faith that there is a resurrection and we have that hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. On the rising tide, it can never fail while our hopes abide within the veil. When our eyes behold through the gathering night, the city of gold, our harbor bright. When we finally, and our soul passes from this life to the next, it's my hope that I'll see a city of gold and that I'll arrive in my harbor bright, which is heaven to me. We shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore. I want to be moored to that heavenly shore where I won't drift away because of my hope in Jesus Christ. With the storms all past forevermore. And we have the reframe. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. I even looked up billows. I had a pretty good idea what a billow was, but it's those big waves. Those 20, 30 footers, those billows that come up out of the sea. And it's usually followed or it's usually associated also with violent winds. So we got an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while all the troubles in life are going on, trying to bring us down and trying to get us away from our belief in Jesus Christ and pulling at us from every side and every angle. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We need to be founded in our Savior's love, that everything that goes on in my life as a Christian hopefully is guided by that Spirit of Jesus Christ to give me that hope that I have of eternity with Jesus, hope of eternity with God, hope of eternity in heaven, where I can rest from all the troubles. Matthew 14. You probably all should know this story. It's where Jesus walks on the water. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is really early in the morning or late at night, And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. We have Jesus Christ that he controls everything. He created everything. Everything is within his power. And everything was going fine for Peter when Jesus says, come on. But he kept his focus on Jesus Christ. But when he lost his focus and he started worrying about the boisterous rolling of the sea and the things that were going around him, that's when he started to sink, because he started worrying about the troubles in life. So when we have our troubles in life, when my mind starts going crazy at 3 a.m. in the morning, I got an anchor in Jesus Christ that tethers me to his word, and it helps me to refocus on the things that I need to focus on instead of the things that my mind wants me to focus on. I'm going to close with Romans 8. Start at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is up there making intercession for you and for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the troubles of the world, and will it separate us from the love of Christ? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's Jesus Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love for us. Now we can walk away, but his love is still there. We just need to accept it. We've got an anchor that holds us to the rod of iron, the word of God, and our anchor is Jesus Christ. So remember that we do have an anchor that holds us firm to the rod of iron, and it's Jesus Christ. Thank you.